Welcome everybody to the RBS Bottom Line Studio. Today in the studio we have Agnes Kazak, who is a special guest as well. And today's case study is brand storytelling. And without further ado, I'd like to ask, like Agnes, how would you explain yourself in a couple of sentences?
Pleasure to be here. Well, I would describe myself as a visionaire. I love to create, I live for creation, and I love bringing value and meaning through what I create. And passion, energy, and growth are my driving forces. Mm-hmm. And that has led me to building my own business. The strong desire to serve people, to create, and to bring value. Mm. Yeah.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Yeah. Actually, I also asked a person you certainly know.
Okay.
What that person thinks about you.
Oh, wow.
So, I want you to guess afterwards.
Okay.
Which person this could be, okay? So, this is what that person says about you. Agnes is one of the most persistent, disciplined, and goal-oriented people I know. Yet, the way she gets things done is with ease and joy. She was an inspiration during our studies and continues to be one now. I'm not sure she realizes herself how much unique bravery and creativity she's put into running their brand. Not just any tiny Latvian store, but truly a brand, a community many aspire to belong to, and many more will do.
Wow.
That's a poem.
What an introduction.
Exactly.
Wow, I think I know the person. Could it be Elizabeth? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, Elizabeth, she's one of she's one of my best friends and I truly love her. So thank you.
She works in the marketing team as well. And talking about like how you said you're a visionary, you're a creative person, what is it that you exactly do now in your career? Also, Elizabeth said you build a personal brand. So tell us what that
is. Yeah, I'm actually a creative person, but I have a set of also very analytical thinking, and the discipline she was mentioning. I would say I'm very goal oriented, mm-hmm. and when I set the goal, I do everything what it takes to get it. And so what I do, I am the co-founder of 100% natural knitwear brand, women's wear brand called For Lovers and Trees, and we like to call it as a nature lifestyle brand. We aim to inspire people to spend more time outdoors. To wear our knitwear, 100% natural knitwear, and to spend more time outdoors. So it's been 2 years since we launched the brand, and now we are on the way to build a global brand. We have an aim to be the first knitwear choice in the world in the upcoming years. So we're right now building a global e-commerce brand.
That's cool. But I want to elaborate. You said that you are really good at goal setting and following through with the goals. And I guess a lot of people are, everybody has their own approach.
Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know, in a nutshell, like a simplified version of it, how do you set your goals and how do you ensure that you follow through with them? That's interesting.
Well, that's a very good question. I believe all starts with the energy and state you put yourself every day. It starts how you start the day. What is your daily routine? At what time you wake
up? Also set it up like on paper?
Not on a paper, but I like do it in practice.
Okay, yeah.
So at what time I wake up? Do I do physical activities every day? How I make sure that my energy level is as high as possible to be able to give more. So I'm not like, how I start the day? Do I start the day like I'm ready? Mm. Or do I start the day like, it makes all the difference. So also the goal setting you mentioned, you can't manage what you don't measure. So I do like weekly goals, everyday goals,
weekly
yearly goals. Yes, it's like tasks, goals. I love to plan, and I love to like love to also measure what is working, what is not working, what I need to change in the system.
Can you like briefly walk us through like how do you set the actual goals like in practice? So let's say, I don't know, for anybody that could be applicable. So let's, any example of you have your, maybe, I don't know, on Sunday you set the goals? So it's a Sunday,
no,
how do you
like,
actually?
Like on, for the brand and company, we have Mondays. Mondays are like brainstorming and team session days.
Okay.
We go through the tasks of like every week with each of our employees. So we sit down and walk through all the tasks that are like goals for the week.
And also put them on paper?
Yeah, also put them on paper. We put them in paper, but we are writing like after the meetings, we are writing down what we agreed on, what will be the main three goals for this week. So we are agreed. And on Tuesdays we have weekly meetings when we just go through the results of the last week's goals. So we see what worked, what didn't work, what can we change in the system. So we are performing better. So that's that. Those systems and processes are still, we are, it's not our zone of genius, but we understand that to be really good at entrepreneurship, creation and design and all those creative things, you need a strong system and processes running for you to be able to focus on that zone of genius.
Wow.
So yeah, that's goal setting and managing and...
And you set three, so it's like really concrete as well. You prioritize,
yeah.
You make sure to prioritize.
Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned about the brand that the goal of it is to encourage people to go out into the nature.
Yes, and spend more time outdoors.
And it would be ironic if you yourself didn't like nature. But so the question is, what does nature mean to you?
Yeah. Well, nature for me means freedom. It means it means a lot of things. It actually has changed my life. It impacted my career as well. If I look back 3 years ago, I would probably have a different answer than now.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can truly say that nature is a part of my lifestyle, and I try to spend as much time outdoors as I can. Every week. So it also gives me a feeling of gratitude, of fulfillment, and feeling that I'm enough already.
Mm-hmm.
Just going by the seaside and just going on a nature hiking adventure, I feel that okay, just like things change, processes go on, but here I am standing in nature and I'm enough. So this is the feeling that I like to remind myself also on a like a busy week. It's really important that we just ground ourselves, and it's kind of meditation as well.
Mm.
So how actually the nature changed my life. When I was working previously as head of marketing and sales at Tomorrow, well, all like after all of the intensive periods, after all the fashion shows, international exhibitions, like after all those intensive periods that were a lot, and it was like the whole year, and I found myself that I was feeling sick all the time. Like I was catching colds every second week, so my immune system was really, really, really low. I wasn't able to manage stress that well. So me and my friends started going on those nature hiking adventures. We started organizing hiking charity hikes. And so I found myself that I was going to nature more and often. And it somehow changed the way I think, the way I felt. So eventually nature nature contributed also to my my own brand. During one of those hikes, me and my friends, we started talking, why don't we go outdoors more often? And some were saying that, okay, we are feeling cold all the time because of the temperature and weather. We are feeling cold all the time, so we are not dressed properly. Mm-hmm. And that's where the idea of knitwear brand was born.
Creating clothes.
Yeah, creating clothes that you can actually wear outdoors, but yeah. also you can wear them indoors. And so that's
still
why...
look good.
Yeah, and still look good. And they are made from natural materials. Like, for example, we use this 100% extra fine merino wool that's actually used also in thermal wear and professional clothing and sportswear clothing. So we are implementing that in everyday clothing. So it's, yeah, so it makes you feel warm, cozy, and just good.
Yeah, that's an inspiring story. I mean, I want to go into nature right now as well after that. But talking about that, like, I'll be honest, I'm when it comes to fashion, I'm not even amateur. I'm just looking at it from as a fly on a wall, basically. But considering your brand, what is like its competitive advantage to what is out there, or what could be your direct competitors? Like, how is For Lovers and Trees different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good question. Well, I would say it's not so much about the product. Mm-hmm. Of course, product is also very important, and that we really, really work on the quality and the price, so we get the best possible quality for the best possible price. But I would say what really makes us different is the identity or mission or story behind it. That you actually, you're not buying a clothing item, you're buying a story, you're buying a feeling.
By the way, quick comment, I went to the website multiple times. It's amazing. Like, you really go on there, it feels like you're entering nature. It's so authentic, it's also funny. Like, the more you scroll down, and it's yeah.
Okay, funny. I would love to hear about the funny
part. maybe like wholesome rather than funny. There was the picture where a person was hugging a tree.
Ah,
is that you?
Or no? That's Christina.
Christina, okay. Yeah, that was like wholesome. Yeah, okay. It felt authentic. So yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely feel that feeling. So it's about.
It's about the. Yeah, it's feeling, about the right. feeling, about our mission, mm-hmm. and I believe we create a feeling whenever you enter the community, you are a part of something greater than yourself. So something, you're entering a community, you belong mm-hmm. to something, you belong, you help to create the story of the brand. So we are really, really working hard to make those relationships the priority. Through all those stories we are telling, mm-hmm. through the products we are making, it's always about the relationships, about the community.
And how do you build those relationships? Like, maybe we can look both on the actual, like, do you directly talk to your customers? Is it a community? Is it like a groups or?
Yes, both. Like, we are an e-commerce brand, so most of our business is done online, mm-hmm. but we have a studio. It's actually really near on Strelnik Street. So we have built the studio as really open space where we are organizing a lot of like yoga classes, tea ceremonies that are open and available for the community. But it's not actually, it just happened along the way. It's not how we started. But we started by creating this community online, and we start by the first message, like the first touch print we have with the client or with the potential client. Whenever you join our community, like, for example, our main platform is Instagram, and whenever you join our community, you immediately, not immediately, but you will receive the first welcoming message, the first touch print. So we are really working hard to create, like to transform this passive e-commerce e-commerce shopping experience to really active experience. So we are going closer to the customer. So whenever you start to follow us, it already starts by that first step. You receive a welcome message. We have a person that sends those messages to all our followers.
Oh, so it's not automatic.
Yeah,
There's
it's
like.
not automatic. It's like, we invest in that a lot, and you will probably receive like 3 to 5 times those touch points from us. Those touch points where we can meet. So we are really focusing how we can connect with the potential client more, the community member that joins the community. So that's only one platform. We also like we search for those ways how where we can connect with the customer. So that's how we build the relationships online. There are also ways how we build them on our studio. When a customer comes to our studio, we somehow always try to make them feel as a friend is coming to as a cam as a friend is coming yeah as a friend is coming.
Yeah, an old friend comes
Yeah, an
by. Yeah,
old
is that
friend. Yeah, it's a way
yes.
how we
Yeah.
communicate, is a way how we engage them, is a way how we make them feel that they are part of our story. I mentioned about our mission is to help, is to inspire people to spend more time outdoors, but we also donate a sum of money to plant trees. And the way we are communicating is that we are doing that because of our customers, because of they are making, because they are supporting us, they are showing their support and love for our brand, and that's how we are making it done. So it's only because of them.
Yeah, and
Yeah. So, yeah.
but bringing the value. So this was wow. Like actively bringing your customers in on a journey, on the story of it all. And I also want to ask, like, about the feedback when you design clothes, the
Yeah.
actual like fashion clothing design process. Do you involve the opinions of the customer somehow, or if you do, like, how do you do it, and how do you make sure that you bring value also through that way? Because I know you said it's mostly about the story, but I guess my question is, how do you involve the customers also in the design process?
Yeah. It's a great question. When we actually launched our brand, before we launched it officially, we made like fittings with more than 50 women, friends of friends, relatives. So we made those fittings, and through that we understood, okay, what is our ideal customer? How does she look like? What does she feels? What she thinks about the products? And we understood that this feedback is so essential to our growth that we still do that. We have this loyal customer base. Actually, we have defined our ideal customer, and if there are 5 different women profiles. We have them named. We have names for each of our women. How she looks like. What is she doing? What kind of products she will choose. So we have like a specific client profile defined, and each time we are launching a new collection or launching products, we are inviting those women to test those products firsthand. And this gives also like exclusivity feeling that they can be the first ones to see the product, and also it gives a huge feedback back to us. So yes, we still do that. We organize fittings with our clients that are the best, yeah, the best ones to ask for feedback. And also, of course, on social media, when we are thinking about new colors, and we always ask for opinions for people to vote. and somehow engage them in the process. That's really important.
Wow. Yeah. And I heard like there's this book. It's funny that I don't know. I think it was from the Blue Ocean Strategy, but it says that you only need 1,000 loyal customers to have a successful brand.
Yeah.
And, I assume the same thing, that you need to have some loyal, strong community,
yeah,
only
like
a few
raving
people.
Fans, yeah.
Yeah, to make it happen. That's awesome.
True. That's true. I actually 100% agree with that, because those raving fans will be with you also during winter times when it's not like during COVID, or those will stay and those will make it happen.
Okay. And I have a question. So about the brand as being sustainable, are there any other reasons that a company would choose like the sustainable path of making their products healthy for the environment, besides like the ethical reasons that, yeah, it probably will help like the our future generation, it's going to help the environment? Is there something like when it comes to maybe the public image of the company, like does it also make sense somehow else besides being ethical?
Well, I would say well, the purpose underneath, like the customer demands the new generation customer, well, in my experience, she's demanding those things. She's demanding that the product is not only that it doesn't only look good, but it also lasts long. So you have to think about the materials you use. Where are you producing that? What does the packaging look like? She wants the full experience. She wants the both the good quality, but she also wants the longevity of the product. She also wants the quality of the product. The consumers are getting more and more conscious about their buying decisions. So it's not, I would say, slow fashion is the future. People are choosing more local brands, more locally produced brands, smaller brands that they can associate themselves with. And I would say it's coming more and more, more and more actual.
Because of the demand.
Yeah,
demand
because
changes.
Of the demand, yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And about elaborating on building the let's say, a business image, because that's what you're great at, what you've done so far. How does a company, maybe just starting out, maybe they, this would be more complicated, but they have established an image.
Okay.
How do they change their image a certain way? Like, what steps should they take? What maybe like things they should ensure to maintenance work? It's pretty hard to formulate this idea, because I guess it's kind of abstract. But how, I guess the general question is, how does a brand build its image? And not only that they think it's brands this way, but also everybody else thinks this way.
Okay.
You understand? Like,
yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, you know, I will not be innovative, but you have to know what you are creating for. What's your ideal customer? You have
the
to
customer
have,
profiles, the vibe that you have, for example.
Yeah, the customer profile. Who are you creating it for? And how can you bring value? What is your irresistible offer? What's going to be your irresistible offer your ideal customer will not be able to say no? So those three pillars you start to build, like, what's your mission? What can you bring value to? It's not only about the product. It's about what the product, what value the product brings to the customer. Yeah, I would say when you start to think about those questions, the real identity will develop. Yeah.
In your case, that was storytelling. Like,
Yes, in our case, it was nature. We wanted to give back to the nature, and we wanted to tell those nature-inspiring stories, and we wanted to educate people, to inspire people to spend more time outdoors. And through our products, our products were just a platform, mm-hmm. how we could connect with people. And yes, in our case, it was about the mission first, and then the product followed.
Wow. Yeah, these are way different ways to think about it. Right? First telling the story, not having a vehicle. Okay, yeah, I'm mind blown. And also, this is something that, I don't know, could be controversial, but for me personally, like, As I said, I'm really new to the fashion industry, mm-hmm. barely know anything.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out what, like, typically, like, this can be generalized in the fashion industry. What typically sets up the price for a brand? Because usually, like, the self-costs or the... My accounting professor is going to kill me for this. I forget the name. But I guess it's probably the product costs.
Yeah.
They're a relatively low percentage of the actual profit that you make. But what usually, I guess that's also kind of what you mentioned this whole time about what the value brings, but how is the price usually set up?
You mean the price of the, like, product?
Yeah, or usually the
price
for the product,
of the brand?
Well, actually, what's more important? I guess what's more important? I don't know. What's a better question?
Well, I would say, well, the price of the product, if we're looking at the product itself, it's set up by, of course, the production mm-hmm. costs, all the fixed costs, and all the variable costs that actually makes up the product. But the other story is what goes behind it is the marketing, the storytelling, the identity. It can actually, well, my brand, I would say it's affordable luxury. If you go, like, through the luxury segment, the price, mm-hmm. the price limit, like, sky is the limit. It's the price is set up by the client. So
what they're willing to pay.
Yeah, what they're willing to pay. In our case, there's like a standard in the industry, the markups you usually see in the industry, but in our case, it's it's really great quality for a really great price. So we are in the affordable luxury segment. But it's a great question you are asking about the value of the brand. I would say it's also the potential of the brand, the potential clients the brand can have. Mm. Like
the market that's possible.
Yeah, the market that's possible. Like, okay. But it's always different to evaluate the brand, to evaluate the,
Abstract question.
Abstract question.
We're sort of formulated as well. Yeah. So basically, it depends on each. There's like, my conclusion is, there are these like real luxury brands. Because I also know that, like, most people think about, let's say, Gucci, that's like the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some like really upper class type brands that most people don't even like recognize.
Yeah.
And they're like, beyond expensive.
then
there's also like affordable fashion,
affordable.
In a sense that it's set up by the market price, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially
if you're a new brand,
you have to be competitive. Like,
you have to be competitive, and we are doing that right now. We are prioritizing expansion and getting more and more clients rather than like creating a larger profit or gross margin. So at one point you need to be able to build the brand awareness. For a new brand, it's not that easy to set up a high price at the beginning. You first have to build a strong image, build a quality, and afterwards you can
Actually, talking about the image, and Building a strong story, what are maybe some, I don't know, brands that others also might know that have brilliant examples of a great story for the brand? That's all. Maybe, I don't know, because I said I'm really new to the industry,
Okay.
but what could be some
Well,
good examples of who does it well?
yeah, well, my personal favorite is Patagonia. Maybe you're
No.
familiar with the brand. Okay. Well, just recently they launched this huge news that they donated their company to climate crisis organization, like 3 billion worth company. They just donated it, but that's not the full story. But it just shows how compassionate and committed they are for what they are doing, and they are also like they are building the best. Their mission is to build the best possible product while minimizing their impact on nature and solving environmental solutions. Yeah. So, but what they are doing through their storytelling, they are actually making their community as nature activists. They're sharing those stories that I really recommend you to watch with, like, for example, they launched this campaign on Black Friday, "Don't buy this jacket," as they have this year, like they have this like how would I say it? They have this guarantee that they will repair your jacket for free. Yeah, for free. That you can get your Patagonia product repaired at any of their stores free of charge for the rest of the jacket's life. So they are launching this so they are launched this campaign, "Don't buy this jacket, get it repaired," or think about how you s like about your buying decisions. So they are really, really thinking about this longevity of the products they make. So that's also for me as their client, it also gives me a trust that they know what they are doing. They are putting their efforts to make the best products possible, and through their storytelling, they are making me a part of the community. Yeah.
And the continuing elaborating on like the storytelling,
Yeah.
Patagonia.
Yeah.
First of all, that's amazing. So it to make sure the storytelling is powerful, you also have to follow through with actions that you're doing as a company.
Yeah,
Okay, and my question is, let's because there's often like these stories of companies of how they were created, also
Yeah.
yours as well. Do you think they have to necessarily be true to be powerful, or they have to be true, or can you like tweak some facts about it? Because I mean, most stories that you tell, like in general, anybody, the actual way it happened may be a little bit dry. There was some maybe funny, maybe some beautiful aspects of it, but mostly it was dry. So people generally tend to,
Exaggerated,
yeah,
yeah.
or maybe enhance it somehow, make it more interesting. Do you think it's, first of all, maybe okay to lie when you tell like there's still like certain aspects of the story?
Yeah.
Yeah, does it like make it more powerful? What's your take on that, basically? It's my question.
So, do the stories need to be true?
Yeah, do they need to be true?
Well, it's an interesting question. Well, I would say if you feel that you can bring something good with the story you're telling, it can be also a fictional story, as long as it's not going against your ethical, like inner feeling. But
Ethical isn't like you don't actually, it's not according to your values,
yeah,
or you think this is too over-exaggerated in that
yeah,
sense.
like if it's not going against your values, or yeah, I think you can also create fictional stories. It's but they, yeah, if you mean like stories how the brand was built, I believe it has to be true to feel authentic. I think the customer can spot it already if it's not authentic.
It's not. And about telling the story. So you already have a crafted story.
Yes.
Let's say somebody's starting from scratch,
Yeah.
maybe another brand. What's like the short, I don't know, step-by-step process or just the regular process of how you craft a story from the beginning? Like, I don't know, how do you choose what elements to keep, what elements to keep out? Maybe this is not relevant. Like, what's your, how did you do it? You increase.
Well, for us, we have defined the topics we are talking about each week. We have those five topics, for example, product and the quality, production, our team and studio, our nature and mission, how we plant trees, or how we go in nature and pick up trash, or like all the hiking adventures. So nature and mission, and yeah, the sales part, the product part. So we have those topics already defined. We know our like brand philosophy, philosophy that we are all the time communicating about. So it's easier if you have already like defined what are your values. What do you stand for? What do you communicate about? And then the story just fits in one of the categories. If it's meant for the product, you understand, okay, you need a different angle. If it goes for the inspiration part or for the nature part, it will not be so much about the selling the product itself. It will be about the story or about the people behind it. So it's, I would say you need to have some kind of structure, and those topics you are talking about, those topics you are raising awareness about. And the way you craft the story is you start with why. What do you want? What do you want to express? What do you want? What's the mission underneath? And what is the client you are telling the story about? And what can client benefit from that? These are the questions to be answered when you craft the story. So yes, I could think about an example how we did a storytelling. For example, some of the recent ones, we decided that we want to for Christmas time, we want to have a different gathering for our for colleagues and for our teammates. We will not, we will, we didn't prepare like a usual usual Christmas party at the office, but we decided, okay, we want to give back and we want to do something good, so we will organize a hike. And we did that all online. We talked about how we are getting ready for the hike, how we are going with the team to the hiking, and we set a goal for each kilometer. We will donate 100 euros for Ukrainians in need for Pietelva Foundation. So we actually involved also our community. They were able to follow up how we are doing on our hike, and it turned out very, very, very like a beautiful story just from the idea that, okay, how we can inspire people to go outdoors. So we crafted the story, and we actually involved our community so they could be a part of the story. And at the end, we yeah, we donated we walked 15 kilometers because it was really harsh weather weather conditions. And people were yeah, they were taking a part of the story. It was just an example that came to my mind.
So story, like, because if you think about, yeah, we could just donate maybe a couple of thousand or $1,000, something like that,
Yeah.
euros. You have euros over here. But instead of just doing that,
Yeah, I'm just
which is
saying,
not
okay,
really,
we did that. Yeah.
yeah, that might not be as powerful of a story,
Yeah.
but if you turned into a journey.
Yeah, exactly. Like, tell the story from A to Z, how you're starting to getting ready for the event, then the actual event, then the feedback, and then you involve clients and community, so they feel a part of the story. So yeah, that's
awesome. And my two final questions is, so what did you do during your, like, what is your connection with RBS? What did you do during your studies? That's the first one. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, you mean, what did I did professionally when I was studying, or?
So I was in your RBS studies, what was your experience like?
Okay.
I guess, yeah, that's a better question. What is your experience like during your RBS studies?
I had the best experience. I was BBA3. So it was like really newly launched program. And we had the best, well, as far as I remember, we had the best course mates, and the best community, the teachers. And it was the place where I really started to think out of the box. I would describe my experience as that. And I really actively took part in, I was the head of the culture division. So I was actively also, also like working towards building a community feeling as well during my studies, and that led to I was nominated also the outstanding student award at the end. So I wouldn't say I was the best at the studies. I would say it was a mix of community feeling, creating new events, and also of course doing my best at the studies.
What was your best, most wholesome, funny experience? What was the story? Yeah, maybe like a moment that happened in your studies.
Well, most unforgettable experience, I would say, was the slam dunk. I don't know if
you went to a court, the basketball court.
No,
you were dunking.
No. Okay, maybe it was called differently. But it was like a 70 grand slam.
Yeah, we still have it. Yeah, slam dunk.
Imagine
going to a basketball court and dunking.
Yeah, grand slam. You're right. So it was an unforgettable experience. During my time, it took like, it was 72 hours long. So it was like a whole few days experience when you stay at this like at school premises, you brainstorm, you create, you are all in from the beginning to the end. So during my studies, the whole course was divided in two groups, so we had those two large groups, and we had to somehow come together and create one business idea at the end. So it was the most unforgettable experience. Yeah,
from really, the most alumni that I've talked to, Grand Slam also was there. So and when I had it also, it's something else.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll end on that note. And thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you, Agnes Sakazaka, for joining us today. And see you on the next episode of Bottom Line Studio, RBS Podcast.